All right. Today we'll be looking at Romans 8, verses 9 through 13, so you might turn to that passage because the majority of our time will be there. So Romans 8, verses 9 through 13, we're just continuing through our study of Romans 7 and 8. We're now in chapter 8. And what we're dealing with today is the radical change that God has produced in our lives. So let's start with verse 9. We looked at it a little bit last time. It's, I think, one of the key verses of the chapter, certainly of the first section of the chapter. And so let's look at verse 9 together. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Who is this talking about? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, so all Christians, genuine Christians, have the Holy Spirit. And that means, by definition, all Christians are in the Spirit, as it's defined in this chapter. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Oh, so the unsaved, these people are the unsaved or in the flesh. So let's take a look at this a little bit more. So who is this verse talking about? Who is in the flesh and who is in the Spirit? All right, so this is an important thing for us to recognize. Is this about two different kinds of Christians, the carnal Christian and the spiritual Christian? No, it's about the contrast here. Is those which have the Spirit and those belong to him. And every Christian has the Spirit by definition. And because those who do not have the Spirit don't belong to him, they aren't saved. So if you are saved, you have the Spirit and you belong to him. All right, that's an encouragement that I think that many of us need, especially the friend that Jack made, Kobe. Kofi, okay. Anyway, kind of like coffee, only different. All right, you know, to understand that we have the Holy Spirit if we know the Lord. And we'll get into that as we go. Now, in contrast, those who don't have the Spirit, which is all of the unsaved, are in the flesh. So that in the contrast of the passage, this is saved versus unsaved, not two different kinds of Christians, not carnal versus spiritual Christians. You know, and this helps us to understand what this passage is saying, so because it says some rather marvelous things. Now, last week, I listed four things that were characteristic of you before you were Christ. We were man of flesh, or woman of flesh, if you feel left out. And this week, the number has gone from four to seven characteristics that you had before you were saved. And these come from Romans 8, 3 through 8. But for those who like to take notes, I have 7 points about who you were before Christ. If you are not the type who likes to take notes, I still have 7 points that I'm going to deal with of what we were like before before Christ. So if your memory is not super, then maybe you should take notes. All right, so here's the first point. The first point, we're weak. I think the Greek for that is wimp, but I could be wrong about that. But nevertheless, I don't mean that we were weak in body, but that we were not able to keep the law or live a perfectly moral life. That's characteristic. That was characteristic of us before we knew the Lord. Now, the second characteristic is that we were spiritually dead. As in dead, dead, not nearly dead. There's no such thing as a seeker among the unsaved. If they are truly spiritually dead, they're not seeking anything. You know, only in movies do you have The Walking Dead. Normally, in the funeral home and the morgue, they just lie there. They're not working on their agenda for next week. And they have no spiritual urge to pursue the things of God. All right, so it's important. In fact, Romans 3:11 says, there is none who seeks for God. You mean none as in no one? Well, I looked it up in Greek, and it means none. It means no one, nunca, yet, nothing. Nobody seeks God. That's the characteristic of the unsaved person. All right, so, well, yeah, but if someone comes forward in an evangelistic meeting and sincerely desires to know the Lord, it's because God is drawing him. God is doing something in his life so that he is responding, because if he's left to himself, he will not seek God. Why? Because none seek God. All right, and that's the danger, that's the sadness of the whole situation, is that we have the job of being able to preaching the gospel to people who don't want to seek God. And that's the challenge. Yeah.
That wonderful verse of Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw
all men to myself. Yes, yes. And last week we made mention of John 6:44. No one comes to the Father except that he's drawn. All right, so the first thing was that we were weak. Second, spiritually dead. Third item is we had what is called the mindset on the flesh, which is death. All of our urges or desires focus on what we wanted, what would satisfy us, including the good things we might do, like we might be moral people, we might go to church even. But that's from the flesh, because we don't have the Spirit if we're unsaved. All right, so then what I consider to be the biggest challenge, number four, is that we were hostile toward God. That's what the passage says. We were hostile toward God. We were enemies. We hated God. Now, I don't necessarily mean that we were overtly shaking our fist and saying, I hate you, God. It might be more passive. Oh, God wants this. I'm going to do the other. Oh, God is against homosexuality. Well, I'm going to find a same-sex person. That's rebellion. That's hostility toward God in a more subtle kind of way. All right, so we were hostile toward God. And it might not be an open hostility. It might be a little more subtle. But that's still the characteristic. All right, number five. Your mind did not subject itself to the law of God. And six, it was not even able to do so. All right. And seven, those who were in the flesh, meaning you and me as unsaved people we were, cannot please God. Cannot please God. Ever. All right. So, by the way, this would have included Adam and Eve before the fall. This is what they would have been like. Number five was your mind did not subject itself to the law of God. And number six was it's not even able to do so. And number seven is you cannot please God. All right. So those are the different characteristics that we had when we were unsaved. That's a characteristic of every unsaved person, including Adam and Eve before the fall, who are made of the natural substance. They're made of dirt. That's what Adam means. In fact, dirt. And that's why they fell, is because they were the natural man. And so when they were put to the test, like Eve was at the tree, she failed the test. Why? Because she was made of natural substance. She was a natural person. All right. So this begs the question about what is the nature of sin. Now, we tend to think of sin as the nasty nine or dirty dozen. We think of things like murder and adultery. But notice that in this passage, it's dealing with the basic nature of sin, which is hostility toward God. So why doesn't God allow an unsaved person into heaven if they promise not to kill anybody? Because that doesn't deal with the basic problem. The basic issue is they have a hostility to God and they cannot do what God calls them to do. All right? So think of it more deeply than we tend to think of it. We tend to think of it, oh, that person committed murder, that person committed adultery, that person's a thief. But underneath the surface is the basic issue that that person, unsaved person, has a hostility toward God and is not even able to do the things of that God would call him to do. All right, so this was the very thing we're saved from, is our inability and our hostility. It's the thing that we're saved from. So consider the radical thing that's going on in Romans, the early chapter of Romans here. In Romans 8, verse 9, it makes a vast difference between the non-Christian and the Christian. Because the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, as opposed to the mindset on the flesh, which results in sin and death. There's a vast difference. Or as 2 Corinthians 4:16 puts it, therefore we do not lose heart. Why? But though our outer man is decaying, some people faster than others, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Our inner man, the part that has been transformed within us, is being renewed day by day. So this means, for one thing, that you are really, really a new person, a new creation. You know, not in the sense of, boy, I had a good sleep last night and I feel like a new person. But you are really a transformed person. Now, we tend to look at the faults, our faults and the faults of others, because we tend to focus on the flesh and even the thoughts that are the product of the flesh. But this says that you do not lose heart. You are new in the inner man. Or one of my favorite verses is in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27, which deals with the new covenant. Now consider what it says. I mean, think honestly about what it says. It says that your heart of stone, one that was unresponsive, has been replaced by a heart of flesh. Now, that's not a hope. That's a fact for those who are saved. You've been given a new spirit, a new human spirit, and you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And He, God, will, let me quote this, because it pertains to all of us that know the Lord. God will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Notice that this is not a chastisement, saying you ought to be more careful. You ought to walk. It's saying, I'm going to cause you to walk. If you're under the new covenant, if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit and the transformation, that has taken place, then I will cause you to walk according to my, to observe my ordinances. All right, so however bad we may feel about our Christian life, look what God has said he's going to do and what he's in the process of doing, because we are under his new covenant. So, it's God's work to cause you to carefully observe his ordinances. So we need to be sure that we're not insulting the work of God. Oh, I'm just the dirt under the toenail of Christ. Really? I thought you were a person who's been transformed by God. I thought you had a new heart. I thought you had a new spirit. I thought you had the indwelling Holy Spirit. I thought he said that he would cause you to walk according to his ordinances. Statement of fact. All right, so it's important for us. Which are you going to believe? You're going to believe the word of God, or are you going to believe your lying emotions? Which one is true? That's the word of God, that he is going to that he is in the process of transforming us. So, has God changed you as he says he'll do? Or has he failed at his job? Because those are the alternatives, it seems to me. Because it's his job, not ours. It's his job to cause us to walk according to his ordinances. That's an important thing to recognize. Now, moving on to verse 10, that was enough conviction from verse 9. And enough encouragement. But verse 10, it goes to make the point a little clearer. It says in verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive. It literally says the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You want to know where life dwells in you? It is in your spirit and will be forever if you are in Christ. Then his life is your life now. Now, verse 11, this is assurance about the future. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that is, if you're saved, in other words, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So, now God has given us life even to affect our current body. But the big thing is yet future, the resurrection body. You know, Larry Montgomery, who visited us every now and then, was fond of saying, there's no problem with me that the resurrection won't cure. And that's very true. But none of us have been resurrected yet. That's why when we have the senior saints, we always have to make sure that we have a topic on hand. Otherwise, the topic is going to be, well, I've got this new ache coming on my back, you know. So, we don't have the resurrection body yet. So that's why our body dies. That's why we bury it. But remember this, God's job is not finished with you when you die and go to heaven. In fact, chapter 8, as we get farther along into it, presents the gospel. And it makes no mention of death or of going to heaven. Huh. How do you preach the gospel without death or going to heaven? Well, we'll see as we proceed through this chapter. Do we really understand the nature of the gospel? Well, what is the nature of gospel? It's God's will to give you a resurrection body. There was a time when I scratched my head and I said, you know, if we're doing fine as spirits dwelling in heaven and everything is peaceful and calm and everything, why do we need a resurrection body? Well, because God's intention is for us to come back to earth, a new earth. And I have found that bodies are pretty useful on earth. And a resurrection body would be even better than the natural body that we have. So God's purpose is for us to have a resurrection body and to live on earth for in the new earth forever. All right, and that's the nature of the gospel if we go beyond the fact that, okay, when I die, I go to heaven. Well, that's a good thing to know. But that's not the end of the process. In fact, you and I, when we die, are going to the old heaven, and God thinks he can improve it so that there's a new heaven and a new earth in the future. I don't know how he's going to improve it, but then I don't know that much about heaven. So, before we go into verses 12 and 13, let me just review some of the things we've talked about in Romans 7 and 8 so far. By what Christ has done for us, he has placed us in Christ. I have made a point of this more than once, because the passage has made point of this much more than once. His work continues in us because we have a new life in Christ. Yes, we died with Christ, but we didn't stay dead. We also were united with him in Christ in his resurrection. Therefore, we have a new resurrection life at work in us. Another thing, in him, we've died to the law, to sin, and to death. That's what the passage tells us. Therefore, in Christ, even though we have an ongoing struggle with the flesh, we are in Christ. But when you're in Christ, you still have this struggle with the flesh. You probably already know that. All right, now, and in Christ, his work continues in us through the Holy Spirit. It continues. It's not just he saved us and then on that day, oh, well, all I have to do is wait to check in. No. There's this thing called sanctification, which is a part of salvation. If you don't have sanctification, then you will never see the Lord, according to Hebrews 10. All right, so then we still have the old body, but it's been raised to new life, and we still have the flesh, but we are no longer in the flesh. It's no longer a defining characteristic of us. We are in Christ. All right, now, that gives us a certain obligation. Obligation? You talk about obligation in relationship to being a Christian? I thought everything was free. I thought it was all grace. Well, let's look at verses 12 and 13. So, brethren, he's talking to Christians, we are under obligation. Oh, we have an obligation? Well, yeah, but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're living according to the flesh, you must die. Okay, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All right. Now, just so we don't make any mistake here, somewhere along the way, our body will die. But that's not the end of us. We go to be with the Lord, and we will be with him forever, either in heaven or when he brings us down to earth in a resurrection body. All right, now, we've died, we've been raised up with Christ, and it affects our behavior and not just our mental attitude. In Colossians 3:5, it applies it this way. Therefore, consider the members of your body, of your earthly body, as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So note that sanctification, which every Christian has to go through as a part of salvation, is by the Spirit. All right, so If we consider it a work of that we must carry out in order to be really spiritual, we will fail if we're trying by our own efforts. But notice that we have a vital part in it, because it says, it is you who are putting to death the deeds of the body. We're involved. So, how do we do this? Well, from our point of view, we're putting to death the deeds of the body. From God's point of view, it's by the Spirit. All right, so he's operating in us, and he, by the way, is God. If that hasn't ever occurred to you. Oh, will I resist God? Oh, you really think you can resist the Spirit of God forever? As I said last time, there's no such thing as a person who is carnal Christian always, because God is at work in you. You may be carnal for a period of time, but God's going to win if you know the Lord. All right, so we cooperate with the work of the Spirit of God. We're involved, but it's not the same thing as, oh, I just have to try harder. All right, but as Galatians 5:16 puts it, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Why? Well, this brings us to the next verse, verse 14, which we will get to next time. But it's talks about the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are being led, and that word means to be brought along. We're being brought along by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who sanctifies us by leading us along. We do not sanctify ourselves, for which we can have a great relief. You know, because first of all, if I was sanctifying myself, I probably would fail. And number two, I'd never know exactly where I stood. But it's the Lord who is sanctifying us by his Spirit. All right, so this is a good thing, because we're probably farther along than we might think we are. Remember months ago I said, how many of you feel like you're 99.9% sanctified? And even the oldest people in the congregation, nobody raised their hand. And then from over in this corner, he said, well, maybe 5%. And his wife said, ha, which I think is Spanish for something, I don't know. But at any rate, that is the way that it appears to us, because we tend to focus on the flesh, even our own flesh. And we think, I'm really not doing that well. But remember, it's not your job. It's God's job. He is the one who sanctifies you. And I can tell you this, that when you die and go to heaven, you will be 100% sanctified. The work will be done. That means that God is working on that right now. And I don't know how long it's going to take him in your life or in my life, for that matter. I just know that he's working on it. He is the one who sanctifies us. And so we can put our trust in him, because in 6,000 years of history, he has never failed with those who have trusted in him to bring them into glory. And I think that's important for us to recognize. Now, let me just close us in a word of prayer, and then we'll have our closing song. After I pray. Lord, we do thank you that you are the one in charge of our salvation from beginning to end. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that sanctifies us. We thank you, Lord, that we are cooperate with you, but that you have given us the resources. You've given us a new heart. You've given us a new spirit. You've placed your Spirit within us, and you cause us to walk according to your ordinances. Thank you, Lord. Amen.